listening to South Florida's good news station, WCNO, Palm City.
This is God's plan for redemption, and it's good news.
We are raising the standard of excellence.
This is Gene Hilton bringing you the Apostolic Dimension from Spirit of Prophecy Ministries. We welcome you to our program, Raising the Standard. Revelation 19:10 says, "Worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy." So with this spirit, let's take a close look at the last days and the coming millennium from a Jewish messianic perspective. There's a great difference between the messianic Jewish understanding and the common Christian interpretation found in most end-time books. Christians over the centuries have separated themselves from their Jewish roots, causing many misunderstandings of key Jewish biblical idioms, therefore missing the true interpretation of many scriptures. We can better understand both the Old Testament and the New Testament by rebuilding the bridge to Judaism and learning to embrace its tradition and worship of God. This does not mean that everyone should wholly convert or become Jewish in lifestyle and religion. Rather, I believe a Christian can embrace and respect Judaism by learning to think in Jewish terminology and honoring God's appointed times, the Jewish festivals, which truly explain the elements of the Christian faith. So join me today as we open the Bible and study God's prophetic foreshadows to teach us about Jesus the Messiah. Let's walk in His footsteps and receive His revelation. Well, good afternoon. This is Pastors Gene and Donna Hilton greeting you to our program again on another Saturday afternoon that we've called for 18 plus years, Raising the Standard. We greet you. We say Happy New Year to you. We're in the year 2016 now. It's hard to believe. And even our church, we have our 23rd anniversary, don't we, Pastor Donna? Starting on tomorrow, which is on the 3rd of January. This church will be 23 years old tomorrow. So we're honored to be here with you. We hope you can stay tuned in for the whole hour. We're on every Saturday from 12 noon until 1. So here we go. We're moving down the line, aren't we, Pastor Donna? And so we hope you can stay tuned in for the whole program. If you can't, we do offer CDs or tapes, whatever you ask. And all we ask for is a love offering. Make out a check to our ministry, which is Spirit of Prophecy Ministries, and you can mail it to Post Office Box 413. That's in Stuart, Florida, and the zip there is 34995, and we'll get it out to you. Amen. You might talk about the book I wrote here a little bit if you would like to get that book. Several people's ordered here lately, and so I'm going to turn this over to my precious wife sitting across the desk from me, and she's got some things to talk about and announce, and then we're going to finish our teaching here about, is the Torah obsolete or done away today? Right, Pastor Don?
Is the Torah obsolete?
That's right.
Well, we'll talk about that today.
A little bit more.
So stay tuned.
Yeah.
Stay tuned because you'll be blessed to know the truth. The Bible says the truth will make us free. Amen? Mm-hmm. Glory to God. So I do want to mention that our calendar for January 2016 is available. So you can call us and we'd be glad to mail that to you.
Mm-hmm.
And we, like you said, we've 23 years, Spirit of Prophecy Ministry.
Tomorrow, 23 years. Yeah.
In Stuart, Florida.
That's right.
But the radio program has been 18
plus
years. Mm-hmm. So we'll be having a celebration on the 3rd. So if you've ever come and visit us, come anyways on tomorrow Sunday, and we will have a celebration. And also we'll have a dinner and celebrate Pastor Gene's birthday as well.
That's right. Hallelujah.
His birthday is January the 1st. He's a New Year's baby. And so if this calendar is available, if you'd like to have it, and we'll let you know what goes on here at Spirit of Prophecy Ministries.
Mm-hmm.
I'll just mention a few things. On Friday nights, we have Shabbat. That's at 7 p.m. On Saturday, of course, you hear us on the radio program. We're also on the internet. I'll give you the number. It's WCNO.com, www.wcno.com at 12 noon, and you can listen to this. You can go and listen to other programs on WCNO and ours. You can go look for Saturday and you can listen to any program you want to for probably the last couple years at least. But we're on every Saturday on this radio station at 89.9 at 12 noon until 1 p.m. I also want to mention on Saturdays we have teaching or videos, Christian videos, teaching videos.
Amen.
At 4 o'clock, and then we will have a meal. And we have a meal after that, and then we have prayer. And then on Sunday, we have come together to worship God. Because Jesus is the testimony. The testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy.
That's at 10 o'clock, isn't it?
At 10 o'clock. So if you'd like to have a calendar, just give us a call. We'd be glad to mail you one. And I'm going to give you the telephone number. It's area code 772-285-7007. That's area code 772-285-7007. And we're blessed to be on this broadcast again.
Amen.
Today. We want to say hello to you out there, and we'd also like to ask if there's any of you who'd like to send a love offering, a special love offering for this year. It certainly would be a blessing to the Raising the Standard and help us to finance this radio broadcast. Amen?
That's right.
That's right. So you can mail it to where the address he gave you. That would be Spirit of Prophecy Ministries, Post Office Box 413, Stuart, Florida, area code 34995.
And we'll be glad to get it out to you.
And we thank you for that. We appreciate it. And we want to say hello to all you out there on Radio Land.
That's right. We're honored to be here with you again.
Starting
a brand new year. So it's incredible. Well, we finished our program last week. We finished what we could last week. And by the way, what I'm talking about here, Donna and I, is in my book that we offer. I might as well mention that now. I have a book that I wrote several years ago called God's Prophetic Calendar and the Pictures of the Messiah. And the last appendix in this book is about the Torah. Has it really been done away with, or is it valid for us today? I hear so many things that's contrary to that. But we know, and I believe the Word shows us that not one word is going to ever pass away. He's got in this book, and he gave it to us for a reason. And so we hope you can stay tuned in and have ears to hear what the Spirit of God will be saying to you. You can read these scriptures with us, look them up, and ask the Lord to show you, and you can meditate on this and see what the Lord says, because the Lord says, when you know the truth, it will make you free. And that's what we want to do. We want to be made free. Everything Amen. He gave us was to what? To help us be made free. Praise God. So I think about this, Pastor Don. A lot of people are going to be making New Year's resolutions. Maybe they already have. And most people never seem to complete those because they're dependent on their flesh. You know, I'm going to lose 100 pounds or 50 pounds or 25 pounds, whatever it may be. But very few people follow through because, see, you can't do it without the help of the Holy Ghost. And so if you're not born again, you're listening to this program, well, then you really can't do it on your own. You might think you can, but you can't. You need to come to Christ, be born again, born from above, start walking with the Lord, and then he can help you through any kind of situation that you're going through that you need help in. He's the one that can help you, no one else. And so I'm so glad that I know him, and I hope you that are listening, that are born again, know him, not just know about him, and you're walking with him in the power and the anointing of the Holy Ghost to accomplish everything that he'd have you to do and to know in this day and this hour. Hallelujah. I get excited about that, Pastor Donna. Well, last week we mentioned there's five things we were going to talk about regarding the Torah. And we covered three of them, pretty much. I'm going to backtrack just a little bit here with you. But we had five things we want to cover. And the first part was is the Torah valid for today? The second thing, was the law brought to an end? We know that's the answer, I think, is no. And we talked about legalism, was the third thing. So now we're going to talk about the fourth and the fifth thing. Number four we're going to talk about, has the Torah become obsolete? All right, now we need to back up a little bit from where we left off last week, and I want to mention something here. You know, we have, regarding this thing called legalism, because, in Paul's day, as we said last week, there's no Greek word for the word legal, legalism, or legalistic. And so I even went to my 1828 Webster's Dictionary, which was the one that was written for our early colonies, and it was all based on the King James Bible, which we study and read out of. And so I looked it up in there, and that word's not in there. That word legalistic is not in that dictionary at all. But Paul used a term called under the law, or the works of the law. So I got looking at this, and so I said, well, it's not in the 1828. So I went to a modern dictionary of Webster's, and they've just changed a lot. And so think about that. When Paul wrote that word, legalistic and legalism was not even a word that existed. And even in the 1828 Webster's dictionary, it had not been invented or brought into place yet. Yeah, so I looked at a modern definition of it, and this is what the dictionary defined, and we mentioned this last week. It means an extreme conformity to the law or to moral codes. Therefore, the word extreme can and does refer to what? Legalistic aspects with such a rigid compliance to those that other man-made rules and laws turn a specific set of commandments by God into legalism. A good example. Originally, God gave Israel 213 commandments. As the years went by, the rabbis added an additional 430 more man-made commandments. So what are these additional commandments all about? That's a good question. In his attempt to enforce the commandments by adding additional laws made by man, not by God, but by man, to ensure that Israel kept each law, and I call these fences. It's like putting a fence around it. In other words, the rabbis added these fences around the commandments to help enforce the original commandment, which is legalism, is what it is, with no scriptural support whatsoever. And so Jesus gave us several examples in the New Testament about this, and we talked about that last week, so I'm not going to really go into a deep teaching on that. We talked about it last week. But one last point on this legalistic aspect of the Torah I want to mention. In Galatians 3:13, the Apostle Paul stated this: Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law or the Torah, not being able to, I'm sorry, from the curse of the law being made a curse for us. We must understand that the curse was not the law or the Torah, but the curse was that man could not keep the Torah. They couldn't do it. So Yeshua took the curse upon himself for us. Paul also stated that the law, the legalism of it, is not of faith, but a misuse of the first covenant. It's revealed in Galatians 3:11 through 13. The just shall live by faith and by what? Not by what? Legalism. All right? So that's just a little review. Now I want to talk about four. We just barely got into this last week.
Faith in Christ Jesus.
That's right. Faith in Christ Jesus. Not by legalism, but the faith in Christ Jesus. All right. The fourth thing we're going to talk about, has the Torah become obsolete? Now we got some things we're going to look at in Hebrews, and Pastor Donna's got her Bible open there. I'm going to have you read some things. If you're at home, open up your Bible to Hebrews chapter 8, and we're going to read some things out of 8 and chapter 9. But first of all, I want to ask another question here, like we did last week several times, and we need to answer that correctly. Hebrews 8:13 gives the sense again that the first covenant has become old, stating, now that which decayeth and waxeth old is ready to vanish away. Are you there, Pastor Don, in Hebrews chapter 8?
Yes, I am.
Read verse 13. I just read it, but read it again.
In that he saith, a new covenant, he hath made the first old, now that which decayeth and waxed old is ready to vanish away. Boy.
Now the question here, has the Torah been become obsolete and vanished away? The answer to this, I think, without a doubt, is going to be no. Take note in the verse, the word covenant is in italics. That's what I want to talk about a little bit. We need to understand again why there are words needed in italics when they translated the Bible. The words in italics were added in attempting to bring further clarity to the translation of Scripture. In the book of Hebrews, there are several verses with the word covenant in italics, thus giving the sense again that the old or the first covenant has waxed old, ready to vanish. These verses are Hebrews 8:7, 8:13, and 9:1. I'm going to have Donna read those, but first of all, I want to share something with you about this. I thought about this morning. 1 John, I want to give you an example. 1 John chapter 2, verse 23, this is interesting. Now, most of the time we see the words in the New Testament, when they add something, it's usually one word. But listen to this verse. Verse 23 in 1 John chapter 2. Whosoever denieth the Son, the same hath not the Father. Now, that's what it says in the Greek. But now the translators added this. But he that acknowledgeth the Son hath the Father also. Now, that's nothing wrong with the translation of that, is it? So that's all in italics. To bring what? Clarity to the Bible. Well, that one there happens to be real truth. Amen? So we have to look at this. So Pastor Donna, I want you to read Hebrews 8:7.
For if that first covenant
had been... I'll stop right there for a moment. That word covenant there, now for you listening, is in italics. Now go on.
For if that first, I could leave covenant out, had been faultless, then should no place have been sought for the second.
All right, now read verse 13.
13?
Mm-hmm.
In that he saith, a new italic covenant,
yep,
he hath made the first old, now that which decayeth and waxed old is ready to vanish away.
Okay, now read chapter 9, verse 1.
Then verily, the first covenant, that's in italics, had also ordinances of divine services and a worldly sanctuary.
Okay.
A worldly sanctuary.
That's right. Okay. So she read all three of those. Now, if we use proper ABCs, we talk about it all the time on this program, always based on context, okay? Always based on that. We will have real clarity. We think about this. I've talked about this a lot. A text we have. Donna just read a text. In fact, she read three of them without a context as a pretext. And this is what I think we have has happened many times for all kinds of misinterpretations. Now, with that thought, let's examine these verses very closely by using proper context of the reading of Hebrews chapter 8. We're going to read verses, chapter 8 through chapter 9. We will discover that the central topic and truth of these chapters are all about the priesthood.
That's it.
The priesthood and their function in the days of the first. You notice how you call it the first covenant, not the old. It's not old. It was just the first covenant.
So we're talking about a high priest.
Or the priesthood itself.
But only the high priest could go into the Holy of Holies. Mm-hmm. But the Bible says we can go into the Holy of Holies
anytime. And we're going to find out today why we can do that. The word high priest is mentioned four times in Hebrews and also alluded to many times by what context? We just talked about the context. Now let's look at Hebrews 8:7 very closely. It stated this, "For if the first covenant," this is in italics, "had been faultless," this is key, I marked this in my Bible years ago, "had been faultless, then should no place have been sought for the second." Well, we got to ask ourselves a question here now. Was the first covenant faulty? Would God give Israel something that was no good or faulty, or wasn't good for them? The answer's got to be no. So was there something wrong with what God? And God told him to keep it forever. The answer again has to be no. We've had no in here about three or four times. So who or what was faulty? Hebrews 8:8 gives the answer. Pastor Donna, read that one.
We're finding fault with them.
Them.
Those are people.
Them or the priesthood. Yeah,
that's
go ahead.
He saith, "Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah." Now here's a hint. He's changing the priesthood from Levi to Judah.
That's right. We'll read this as we go along. That's right. So this is incredible. So there was nothing faulty wrong with it at all. We know that. And so the Lord's going to show us here as we read this what was planned and put in place. And if we misinterpret it, well, then we can have another interpretation that God doesn't want us to have. And so I'm going to read that again. "For if the first covenant had been faultless, then should no place have been sought for the second." So it's not faulty in any way, shape, or form. It's all about the Hebrew calendar and the Jewish people, what they honored, and the services they had to do in the temple and all that. And so it's an interesting thing. And the key thing here, the problem was not with the covenant or the Torah. It was with the priesthood. And the them is very important. Amen?
That's right.
So think about it.
It was with the priesthood.
That's right. These two chapters, 8 and 9, teach us about the new high priest, which is Yeshua, Jesus, who is perfect in all his ways and has an unchangeable priesthood. No high priest ever was compared to Melchizedek, the king of Salem. King of Salem. Salem eventually became the city of Jerusalem, except our Redeemer, Yeshua or Jesus. To conclude this evidence that demands a verdict, we have discussed the topics of legalism so far, counting last week, the permanence of God's word, and why the priesthood was faulty because of what? Sin. And we mentioned last week, what was the Torah put in place for? It was to tell us how terrible sin is. That's what it's all about. They all sinned, the priesthood, and missed the glory of God. Therefore, when we see the word covenant all through the book of Hebrews, we must realize that there's nothing wrong with the first covenant that God gave to them and to us today. It's for us. We have a better covenant, and why? Because of Yeshua, Jesus, no ceremonial issues anymore, no legalistic issues. We only come by faith through his redeeming blood. In fact, the word new covenant or New Testament is the Hebrew word translated renewed covenant or renewed testament. That's what it means, renewed. New means renewed. Well, what has been renewed? No more animal sacrifices and the replacement of the high priest office to a permanent high priest. His name is Yeshua. Therefore, what God gave Israel was the first covenant and then prophetically declared the coming of a renewed covenant through the Messiah ben David, which is Yeshua, the Messiah. Isn't that incredible? Think about it.
And verse 6 tells us that in chapter 8. He says, "By how much also he is the mediator," talking about Jesus, "of a better covenant." Mm-hmm. So we have there's a new way.
New way.
There's only one way. Mm-hmm. It's not through the old priesthood that men get cleansed from their sin, but it's by the blood of Yeshua.
Yeshua.
It's a new covenant.
Right.
It's a new covenant written on men's hearts.
Now, they killed animals and shed blood, didn't they? It didn't remove the sin. It only covered it until Yeshua came. That's what it was all about.
No, and it didn't really convict anyone of sin either.
Nope.
It just, like you said, it just...
Covered it.
It covered it, and they made them feel better. Well, you know, a lot of people want a feel-better gospel.
That's right.
This isn't a feel-better gospel.
That's right.
This is a, you know, God delivers us and heals us, and so... It's by the blood of Jesus. This is the new covenant.
That's the covenant.
It's a priesthood. It's a heavenly priesthood. Mm-hmm. It's Yeshua.
That's right.
Sitting on the throne.
So we mentioned last week about the Tanakh. You know, the Torah is the first five books. The Tanakh is the Torah plus the prophets, the Psalms. All that is incorporated in what's called the Tanakh, and it has not become obsolete. It's still active and valuable for teaching and instruction for both the Jew and the Gentile, even today. It teaches how to walk a holy life, doesn't it, Pastor Don? Therefore, what has made the first priesthood old and ready to vanish away? This is a good question. The changing of the priesthood, Donna mentioned it, mm-hmm. to a new dispensation. In Hebrews 9:1, we see clearly where it says this. Then verily the first covenant, is it covenants in italics, had also ordinances of divine service and a worldly sanctuary. Who then administered these ordinances and divine service to the people of Israel? Who was it? The Levites, the priesthood. More importantly, this chapter 9 informs the reader the things regarding the office of the high priest and his required service in that office. Therefore, I believe where the word regarding the office of the high priest is in all is required here, we have to understand this, that which was waxing old and ready to vanish away truly was not the first covenant, but the changing of the high priest office. This is what was being changed. Therefore, who replaced the high priest? His name is Yahshua, God, to his son Yeshua. Who is this? Jesus Christ is the new high priest. Here now is the evidence. So let's go to Hebrews chapter 7, Pastor Donna.
Hebrews chapter 7.
And I want you to read verses 11 through 14. This clarifies it quite clear. What was changed? Go ahead, honey.
If therefore perfection were by the Levitical priesthood,
mm-hmm.
for under it the people received the law.
Or the Torah, right.
That's right, the Torah. What further need was there that another priest should rise after the order of Melchizedek,
there you
which
go.
You spoke about,
mm-hmm.
and not be called after the order of Aaron?
Mm-hmm.
For the priesthood being changed,
there
that's
you go.
Changed, there is made of necessity a change also of the law.
Of the Torah.
Of the Torah. For he of whom these things are spoken pertaineth to another tribe, of which no man gave attendance at the altar. Total change.
That's right.
The priesthood. For it is evident that our Lord sprang out of Judah. We can prove that.
Mm-hmm.
Of which tribe Moses spake nothing according concerning priesthood.
Interesting, huh?
And it is yet far more evident, for that after the similitude of Melchizedek,
there you go,
there arises another priest.
Melchizedek, remember, it talks in the Hebrews that he mm-hmm. had no beginning and no ending.
And that's right.
He was a king of Salem, and he was also a priest. Okay. Now this
who
changed.
Not after the law of a carnal commandment, but after the power of an endless life.
That's
Did
right.
Did you read that? Hear
yeah.
that?
Yeah.
After the power of an
endless life. Incredible.
Endless life.
It's amazing.
For he testifieth, thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek.
There
now we're talking about the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And it says over here, which we didn't read yet, in chapters 8, it says, because this is what's going to be changed. For in verse, I'm talking 8, verse 10. For this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my laws in their mind and write them in their hearts. And I will be to them a God, and they shall be to me a people.
That's so in Jeremiah. Yeah.
No longer is it written. I mean, it's still written on
tablets
and the Ten Commandments is still valid. But God wants to move it so it's deep, deep, deep in our heart.
Hallelujah.
Not just in our Bible or in a book, but in our hearts, that God would be able to speak to us, because God speaks to the heart.
That's right.
God speaks to the heart.
So if we think about all this change introduced the New Testament, or a renewed testament, as Yeshua replaced the high priest of old, the old order, and is now sitting on the right hand of God, interceding for us. So in conclusion, his entire word is still valid and active today. Thank you, Lord. So everything is still valid. Isn't
it? I believe that's why it says that Abraham
gave tithes.
Saw.
That's right.
He saw when he gave tithes to Melchizedek.
That's right.
And he actually was, like you said, telescope that you see.
Yes, we talked about that telescope. That word telos.
He saw.
That's right.
This, because it was here in his time, and now it says, is a priest forever, an endless life, after the order of Melchizedek. It's whole new order.
That's right.
It's holy.
That's
it's
right.
The Lord Jesus Christ. It's the God, the Father, the Holy Ghost. You know, not in priesthood, because men could not do it. They could not keep it.
That's it.
You talk about priests cannot keep it, but now the Bible says that we're all priests and kings.
That's right.
Well, but
hallelujah.
And we can be priests and kings, and we can attain to the written to the Torah, because what? It's now written in our hearts and in our minds. Written in our heart, in our hearts and in our minds. And so, you know, God can work if we allow, when we come to the Lord and we believe Yeshua is the Lord Jesus Christ, is Yeshua, and that he's our Savior, he's salvation. We are saved, and he gives us the power. He gives us the power of the Holy Ghost that's within us. We have the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost, and his word, his Torah. His Torah is not dead.
Nope.
Because it's written in our hearts and it's in our minds. So and we have the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost, who brings these things to our remembrance. Even if we haven't remembered, don't have something memorized, or we don't know where it's at in the Bible, so a situation comes along, the Holy Spirit will speak to us. And if we listen to the Lord, because these things are in our heart and in our mind. And then we can fulfill the call that God has upon our life, and we can fulfill the destiny and the plans that he has for our life, because we listen to the Spirit of God. Because it's in us.
Amen.
It's in us. It's
right.
In me. It's in you.
That's right. It's amazing.
It's a whole new order. So it's not that it's the covenant. It's not that the covenant is gone. God's word is forever.
That's right.
Written in heaven. You know, because he gave Moses exact orders on how to do things. You know, but and that was a copy, a replica.
That's right.
Of heavenly things.
Amen.
And so men could not attain to what God had asked them, told them to do. Even the priests, even the ones that were supposed to be the purest, know the word the best.
They all failed, didn't they?
They all fell.
Yeah.
But
failed.
So it was only through Yeshua.
Yeah.
That we can have this way, this true way to heaven.
Yeah. Think about the high priest. You know, he was put in office. You that study your Bible, he was in there till he died. If it was 50, 60, 70 years. And then what? Because he was a man, then another man came in. But Jesus has an endless priesthood. That's incredible.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So I wanted to read this to him, Pastor Don.
You know, it also says here that, you know, when it's written in your heart, in your mind, it says that all will know me. Well,
that's
all
right.
Will know the Lord. From what? From the least to the greatest.
Because of Yeshua.
Because everyone is important.
That's right.
That doesn't matter what your status is in life.
Mm-hmm.
To in God's eyes, we're all priests and kings.
That's right.
There's no big me's and little you's. You know,
that's right.
Everyone is a child of God.
So the revelation of the priesthood is a pattern about everything was about the Messiah that was going to come. They called him Messiah ben David. There was a Messiah ben Joseph that suffered, and a Messiah ben David. Everything was pointing to this priesthood that was going to be unending. Amen.
So what's waxed old and what's vanishing away is the old priesthood.
The old priesthood.
That's as simple
That's
as
exactly
that.
That's exactly what
it
is.
Simple. Keep
That's
it simple,
right.
Saint. The old priesthood has vanished away. There's a new way.
There's
it's
a new way.
It's a new and living way.
That's right. Now, I'm going to read this out of chapter 9 of Hebrews, a few verses, starting in verse 11. But Christ being come and high priest of good things to come by a greater and more perfect tabernacle. It was his tabernacle. It was him,
mm-hmm.
Right? Not made with hands, that is to say, not of this building. Neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood, he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. Now, if you notice in your Bibles, the word 4S for us is in italics. Just gives clarity, doesn't it? He did that for who? For us. So it's good translation. Verse 13, for the blood of bulls and of goats and the ashes of an heifer, sprinkling the unclean, sanctifieth to the purifying of the flesh. How much more, I'll say that again, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? See, all these ceremonies and these extra legalistic things we've talked about, those are all dead works in God's eyes. And for this cause, he is the mediator of what? The New Testament, a renewed testament. That by means of death, for the redemption of the transgressions, they were under what? The first covenant or testament. They which are called might receive the promise of eternal inheritance. For where a testament is, there must also be of necessity be the death of the testator. So we see this. So when he came out of the grave, you know, we talked about those sins. They were all just covered. They were just covered in the first covenant until Yeshua came. So when he came out of the grave, what happened? He removed all those. He just didn't cover them anymore. He removed all those sins that were confessed and put under the blood of the animals and all back in those days. But it was a total forgiveness at that point in time. So he was everything. So now we'll talk about the fifth thing, the last part about this, the proof of the high priest replacement. And we've been talking about this. That's what these chapters are all about. But we've got to think about this a little bit. Remember, God gave instructions to Moses regarding the holy garments that the high priest was to wear during his service to God, the ephod and all that. The collar was to be reinforced with additional material so that the collar could not be easily ripped. If there ever came a situation with anger or anguish in that priesthood, the high priest, over anything in his service to God, the normal reaction in these cases was the high priest would grab his collar and tug on it. If he used enough force that his collar was torn, the requirement from God in the Torah was that he would be removed from his office as high priest immediately, right then. It's amazing. This is exactly what happened to the high priest when he was questioning Yeshua about his claim of being the Messiah. He became so angry that he reached up and tore his collar. This all happened early in the morning on Nisan 14 of the year that Jesus died, Yeshua, thus indicating the change of the high priest office. Question for you and I now. To whom would this office be transferred to? We should know what we've read. What? His name is Yeshua. Well, think about this a little bit more. This happened at 9 in the morning when they put him on the cross. Okay, we know that. But the trial and all came before that, before he got put on the tree. At 3 p.m. in the afternoon, remember he was on the cross from 9 to 3. At 3 p.m. on Nisan 14, the Messiah yielded up the ghost and died. This is in Matthew 27:50. At that moment, the veil was ripped from top to bottom by God. God, and you know, they proved it. That veil was like 6 inches thick, and it was so strong that two teams of oxen on each side of that could not rip that veil from top to bottom. It's incredible. It was God. He ripped it by himself. It's a picture of Yeshua. Hallelujah. Even as the high priest earlier that day had ripped his collar, God ripped his holy veil to finish the transfer of the high priesthood from an earthly priesthood to a heavenly priesthood. Wow, this is amazing. Because of that event, all mankind in the Messiah today can now boldly enter into the Holy of Holies freely at any time. Therefore, the high priest is sitting on the right hand of God. His name is Yeshua, or Jesus. Wow. No more separation. The veil of his earthly body was rent for us as a sacrifice, once and for all, never to be done again. Consequently, the instructions of the Torah were followed in every detail during this day of the Messiah. However, there was so much anger from the high priest that he violated the commandments of God regarding the trial and investigation of Yeshua. It was a travesty. In conclusion, the spiritual aspects of the Torah are still active and valid to and for all believers today. Pretty heavy, huh? So this is amazing how God did this to show us. It's amazing when you think about his plan. Everything in the first covenant was bringing us and showing us about the Messiah that was going to come. We mentioned, I think, last week that we talked about that little word telos in the Greek, which we get our telescope. The things were far off or brought near. And so all the things that were said way back were fulfilled in Yeshua's life at that particular time. And so there was a change of the order at that time. Glory be to God. So he brought that and said that what? The Torah was what? To be a schoolmaster, Pastor Donna, to bring us unto who? Unto Christ, Yeshua HaMashiach, the Messiah. See, it's amazing, you know. So what a plan that God had from the very beginning. And so nothing has been done away with. It's valid for you and I today. What do we have for a foundation of how to walk a holy and righteous life? You know, I think about what it says in Hebrews also, that if we don't seek holiness, it means being set apart for God, they will never see the face of God. Well, what do we have as requirements and instructions and teaching how to walk that way with God to honor that? What is it? It's the Torah. It's the teaching instruction of God how to walk a holy life. Now, we mentioned so many times, we don't do all the ceremonial things or the legalistic things, do we? But there's spiritual truth behind all these things that we're talking about to teach us about the Messiah and how to walk with Him. When He says don't lie, He means it. When He says don't commit adultery, He means it. When He says don't commit fornication, He means it. Don't bring false evidence against your neighbor, your friend. He means those things. It's not just a suggestion. No, it's a commandment that we must understand and walk in the fullness of it. And then we can learn how to walk with each other in agreement, love one another. And we talked at church here a couple weeks ago about the order in 2 Peter chapter 2 or chapter 1 over there about that divine nature that Jesus said that we could have, and Peter alluded to it in that book as well. And there was an order how it came. All these steps you had to go through, and the last two came down to brotherly love, and then brotherly love brought us to what? To charity. Brotherly love is one kind of a love, but charity is even higher than that. So everything that was talked about there, those six or seven items, all lead us to the amazing thought of the charity that God wants us to have, especially with brothers and sisters together. It's the highest call of love that we could possibly comprehend in our BB brains today. And so we have all this to show us this, and everything in that first covenant, not the old, the first covenant that God put in place, is just totally amazing for us to understand today. And we keep talking about this renewed covenant. You know, it's not a necessary, it's a new covenant, but it's a renewed covenant. Not everything changed. In other words, we mentioned that last week. Three things changed. Hallelujah. That's all. Three things changed. Or really, I said three. I'm talking about something else. Two things changed. What was it? No more blood sacrifices required. Amen. And the priesthood was changed. That's what the only thing that was changed. Amen. That's what we have to understand. What we mentioned last week, I had that three on my mind. The scriptures reveal over there in Hebrews also, there's three ways to not be in the kingdom of God. First of all, is not accepting Yeshua at all. Number two is to apostatize, to leave your faith in Christ and go believe in something else. And the third thing is to be in blatant sin that the Bible talks about, practicing, remaining in that, and the Bible says you'll be lost. Amen? Paul talked in Galatians chapter 5 of all the sins of the flesh and then the things of the spirit. And he told those people, if you practice those things, those first group of all those things, if you practice those things, he says, you will not inherit the kingdom of God. And so God means that. And so how do we understand all this? From the first covenant. What if we didn't have the first covenant, Pastor John? What would we have? We'd be kind of lost. Paul even mentioned in Romans chapter 7 that he didn't understand what lust was until he found out what the Torah had to say. And that lust, he wasn't talking about sexual lust. He was talking about the lust of covetousness. That's what he was talking about. And so he realized that the things that was in the first covenant was important for him to know how to walk right with God. And that's what it was all about. And so we know that they couldn't keep it. We talked about that. They failed. And so they had to sacrifice a little animal, shed the blood, and then the sin was covered until Yeshua came out of the grave. We just read that over there in Hebrews chapter 9. And so everything we have, what a pattern to show the whole picture all the way through to what it was all about, all pointing to the Messiah, Yeshua HaMashiach, our Messiah, our Savior, our Redeemer. Isn't that crazy?
Amen.
Incredible, Pastor Donna.
Amen.
Praise so what God. Else are you looking at there?
Praise God. Awesome.
There's so much in chapter 8 through 9.
Well, you know, I think it really takes us back to the sacrifice.
That's right.
But it had to be blood sacrifice.
Nothing else
and
but blood.
And there were blood sacrifices in those days every day.
That's
and
right.
There was blood sacrifices at the temple. And then there was, you know, special sacrifices. And even then the Passover when Yeshua was on the cross, they had a sacrifice at 9 in the morning and they had another one at 3 in the afternoon.
That's right.
Well, you know, Yeshua, he was... And the blood was sprinkled. The blood had to be sprinkled, And we know that the high priest, he's the one who had to take the blood into that Holy of Holies at that one time of the year.
The Day of Atonement.
And sprinkle the blood.
Yeah.
And, well, you know, Yeshua is our, he's our atonement.
Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord.
So
blood was being shed all the time. So the life is in the blood, you know, and God set up a pattern for, and gave it to Moses. But, you know, and like you said, that priesthood wasn't perfect. And it never could be perfect because man can't be perfect.
That's right.
Only God is.
They had to sacrifice for themselves too, didn't they, Pastor Donald?
They had to sacrifice for themselves. And that's why Jesus had to be on the cross for 6 hours. The first sacrifice at 9 in the morning and also the last sacrifice at 3 o'clock in the afternoon.
Yeah.
When the priest who said, you know, it is finished, and he cut the throat of the sacrifice, and also Yeshua said on the cross, it is finished, and he gave up the ghost and he died. And that's when the veil was rent in the temple. Well, that's when that was the close of that priesthood right then and there.
That's it.
That moment, the moment he died, was the end of the priesthood. And like you said, the high priest tore his collar. That made him
invalid.
He wasn't no longer. And he knew it. And I believe that many of the Jewish people knew it, because many of the Jewish people in the first century, many of the believers were Jewish. All of Jesus' followers, most of them were Jewish. You know, all of his disciples were Jewish. His brother James was in charge of Jerusalem even after, you know, after his after Yeshua's death and all. But you go back to the blood, because the blood of animals doesn't remove sin.
Nope.
The blood of animals doesn't remove sin. It's impossible that the blood of bulls and goats should take away sin. It says
that covered it.
In chapter 10
of
Hebrews in verse 4. For it is not possible that the blood of bulls and of goats should take away sin.
We need total removal, don't we? Not just covered.
That's right. And he says, sacrifices and offerings thou wouldest not, but a body that hast thou prepared for me.
That's right.
You know, God prepared a way
for Yeshua,
that we, through his son, Yeshua, prepared a way that we could enter in to the Holy of Holies. See, they could not enter into the Holy of Holies.
That's right.
Only by the blood. And it says this, because Yeshua entered, and you see, God, it says over here in verse 24 of chapter 9, it says, for Christ has not entered into the holy place made with hands.
That's right.
Hallelujah. Which are the figures. The figures are the examples,
patterns
mm-hmm. of the true, which is the true, is it's what's in heaven.
Hallelujah.
But into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us.
Once and for all.
Once and for all.
That's right.
For us.
For us. Yes.
Amen. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Nor yet that he should offer himself often. No, see, they had to offer this blood all the time, every day. It was a bloody mess. As the high priest entered into the holy place every year with the blood of others. See, Jesus entered in with his own blood.
Once and for all.
His own blood.
Amen.
Not the blood of others or blood of animals.
That's right.
For then must
Thank
he
you,
often have suffered
since
the foundation of the world. But now, once in the end of the world, he hath appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself.
Self. Amazing.
Himself. God
Amazing.
Himself gave himself
what
for
a plan.
Us.
What a plan
through
God
his Son.
Had. Yeah.
By his Son's blood. Through his Son's blood.
Thank you, Lord.
And as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after that the judgment. So Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many.
Yes, Lord.
Once. Not many times. Once.
One time. For all
and
mankind.
And unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation. So it's by the blood of Jesus. And I like this scripture here. It's over here. No. It's having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus.
Yes, Lord.
So we can go into the holiest, the Holy of Holies.
Anytime we want.
Jesus is sitting at the right hand of the Father.
Thank you, Lord.
Interceding
you
for
so
us. Thank you, Lord.
Yes.
It says, by a new and living way. I love that. I just love those few words. By a new and living way. See, there's a new and there's a living way. Because Jesus is not dead. Those animals that were sacrificed in the temple, they're dead.
They're dead and gone.
They didn't dead and gone. It still says, by a new and living way,
that's right,
which he hath consecrated for us through the veil. The veil has been rent. There's no veil. There is to say his flesh.
That's what it is.
So by his flesh and having a high priest. Now this is a replacement.
Right.
He replaced all of those priests all down through the time. He is the high priest.
It's all looking to him.
He's the high priest over the house of God.
Yes.
And it says, let us draw near with a true heart full of assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience. What sprinkles our heart? The word of God, the blood of Jesus. Mm-hmm. It's a spiritual thing. We read back there before. It's by the eternal spirit. Verse 14. How much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God.
That's wonderful.
To serve the living God. There's a new way.
That's right.
A new and living way. A new high priest over the house of God. Who's in the house of God? If you're born again, you are.
We are.
We are. We all are.
That's right.
Let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water.
Hallelujah.
Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. God is faithful. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and good works.
Yes.
The Lord gave me a word for this year, and it has to do with the love. This year, the love of man's love must come to an end.
It has to be God's love.
Yeah. We can't love people.
That's right.
It has to be God's love working through us.
Amen.
Now, forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. This is what we must not forsake ourselves. Not forsaking the assemblies of ourselves together, as a manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more, as ye see the day approaching.
We're getting closer every day, aren't we?
Mm.
So I just want to read.
So much.
I want to share this again. I wrote this in my book. By the way, this is what I'm sharing with you. If you'd like to get a copy of this appendix, just send a self-addressed envelope and tell us that you want it, and we'll make a copy of it. We'll mail it to you, and you can read it for yourself. But I want to mention this again before we close. At the moment that Jesus yielded up the ghost and died in Matthew 27:50, at that moment, the veil, it says, was ripped from top to the bottom by who? By God.
By God.
Even as the high priest,
the
think
Father.
About this. Even as the high priest, he was going to be removed when this happens, earlier that day, had ripped his collar. God ripped this holy veil to finish the transfer. This is a transfer of the high priesthood from an earthly priesthood to a heavenly priesthood. That's what he's sitting on the right hand of the Father. Now, where I sit out sometimes out in the back and look up in the sky and I say, Lord, your temple's up there somewhere. It says so in the Bible. Where is it at? Where are you sitting? Where's your throne at? You know, I'd like to see it. One day we will. We don't know. Maybe it's way, 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 way out there. I don't know. But one day we'll see. But the Bible says that Yeshua, Jesus, is sitting on the right hand of the Father, interceding for us. We have an intercessor there all the time. It's amazing and incredible to think about what God has given us if we can just learn how to trust the Messiah in everything that we do. Is he everything to you? Is he the most important thing in your life? Is he more important than anything else? Is he everything to you? That's what the Lord wants us to understand and know, that he wants to be everything in your life. And so that's what this program is about. We're raising the standard in the body of Christ. We want to see people brought to a new and amazing look and walk with the Lord that they've never seen before. And the only way we can have that is to press in with him. And it's not just going to church on Sunday or whatever, but it's to think about him. Do we wake up thinking about him? Do we go to bed at night thinking about him? What are we doing with our life? How important is he to us? This is it. It's not just some passing thing, you know. Some people just, it's like, well, if I don't got to have anything else to do, I might think about the Lord or might read the Bible or whatever. No, he wants it to be a consistent thing as we look at the Word of God and see what God has to say about us. This is his love letter. This book I have in front of me is his love letter to me and to anyone that has one. And we'll look at it and read, and we see all the promises that we have in there and the plans of the future. It's all in that book. Nothing has been left out. So there's not one thing in that book we should ever take out. We got teachers today, preachers saying, well, this is not for today or that's not. Let me tell you, that book is the same yesterday, today, and forever. From Genesis 1:1 all the way to Revelation chapter 22, verse 21. It's all there. It has not changed. God doesn't give you something and then take it away. It's all there. It's man's thought. And so we have to consume the whole book that he gave us, the Holy Bible. And a lot of these Bibles are really not Holy Bibles that are out there. My King James Bible is a Holy Bible, and I stand on it. And so we trust the Lord that that's the word that he gave us from the very beginning, starting in 1611. And so we have to trust everything that he has for us. And so, like I said earlier, it's these things he told us. Jesus said, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. They aren't suggestions. They're commandments. And he says, if you love me, you'll keep those commandments. And he said that his commandments were not grievous. They're not grievous to me because I love God and Jesus so much that I want to please him in everything that I do. And so that's what we have to walk into, not live like the world does. You know, so many Christians have one foot in the world and one foot supposedly in the church, and they're not really walking it out. They're celebrating all these pagan holidays and all the stuff that we go through and all the things that just take our attention off of Christ. We want to focus in on our Savior, Yeshua HaMashiach, our Messiah. He's our Messiah Ben David. You know, he was the Messiah Ben Joseph, the suffering one. But he's coming back. He's going to be the Messiah Ben David one day. You know, he came the first time as a Lamb of God. He's going to come back the second time here at the end of Jacob's trouble. He's going to come back as a roaring lion to bring judgment upon the earth of those that were never convicted in their heart to realize that without Yeshua, that they have no hope in this life, the one to come. So we pray, if you're listening today and you've never asked Jesus to come into your life, this is a good time, starting a brand new year. Say, Lord, I'm going to trust you starting this week on New Year's Day. I'm going to trust you all this year for the rest of my life. I'm going to commit myself to you, that you're more important to me than anything I want to have or to do. And I want to come to you and you lead and guide me. And when you do that and have a pliable and open heart to God, he'll do so much with you. He's done it with me. He's done it with Pastor Donna. He's done it with millions of people. He'll do it with you. So don't question. We hear all the naysayers in the church today. Well, God's not doing this, or this is not for today. Come on. If God said it and he put it in his book, that settles it. Should be in our heart, right, Pastor Donna?
Amen.
Everything.
Amen.
Everything
Amen.
Should be there.
Amen.
Everything. Tongues.
Amen.
Laying hands on the sick and they'll recover. Interpretation of tongues. And glory be to God. Prophecy. All these things that God's given us in the Word of God. It's still active today. Men have stopped all this. We don't want to. I don't want to stop anything that God's doing.
That's right.
The Bible tells us we blaspheme God when we do that.
We need to seek holiness.
Yeah.
That's right.
That's what Jesus said.
You know, Paul gives a warning here at the end of this chapter.
That's right.
Well, not the end of it, in the part of this chapter 10 in Hebrews. And I'm just going to read it. And, you know, because I would call this, instead of a new covenant, I would call it the covenant of the blood.
That's it.
It's the covenant of the blood of Jesus Christ, Yeshua HaMashiach, our Lord.
That's why it's renewed, isn't it? Yeah.
That is the blood, and that blood is alive.
Not about animals.
It's alive. He is alive. Jesus
Amen.
Is alive.
Hallelujah.
That blood is alive.
Thank you, Jesus.
The Bible says life is in the blood. We could talk a lot about the blood. You
sure
know, a lot
could.
Of churches, they don't want to talk about the blood. They don't want to talk about the blood of all the babies that have been killed here just in America, let alone places throughout the world.
A lot of them don't want to talk about sin even.
No. Well, that's what I'm going to read about. Okay, in verse 26 of chapter 10. For if we sin willfully after that we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more a sacrifice for sin, but a certain fearful looking for of judgment and fiery indignation, which shall devour the adversary. I believe that this is a sin unto. There's no sin. They say there's some sins that are unto death. This is a sin unto death.
If you don't come to the Lord,
he that despises Moses' law died without mercy under two or three witnesses. Of how much sore punishment?
Whoa!
This is worse than Moses' law. Mm-hmm. Two or three witnesses. Suppose ye, and that word ye means you all, means everyone, shall be thought worthy who hath trodden underfoot the Son of God,
yes,
and have counted the blood of the covenant wherewith he was sacrificed an unholy thing, and hath done despite unto the Spirit of grace.
Insulting the Spirit of grace. Yep.
For we know him that hath said, this is God, vengeance belongeth unto me. I will recompense, saith the Lord. And again, the Lord shall judge his people. It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God.
Amazing things.
That's right.
So God is requiring us to keep those commandments. That's what they were put there for, to teach us how to walk.
They're written in our
hearts. If we walk with him, yes.
We can't make a list of commandments, and or just like making a list of things you're going to do today. Well, you know, you have to, it has to be in our heart.
Amen.
You make a list of things you're not going to do. You make a list of things you're going to do. Well, what God has want us, the things that his word to be in our heart.
Absolutely.
And the heart is where we're touched, in our heart and in our mind.
His That's word. What changes us, yes.
His word. Well, this is Pastor Gina Donna Hilton, and we just pray that you know Jesus, that you've asked Jesus into your heart. And, you know, if maybe you need to get stirred up and get on fire again for the Lord in a greater way this year. Pray and ask the Lord. He'll help you. You have the Holy Ghost if you're saved. If you're not saved, we pray that you ask Jesus, Yeshua HaMashiach, to come into your heart right now, today, and start this year off right. Amen. Well, we're here every Saturday, Lord willing, on this radio program, Raising the Standard. And I pray that you were blessed by this broadcast. If you'd like to listen to it again, you can go listen to it on WCNO, or you can call us, and we'd be glad to send you a CD. Also, we have services here in Stuart, Florida. Tomorrow we'll have a service. We have celebrating our 23rd anniversary of the church. And so we'll be having service tomorrow at 10 a.m. We also have services on Friday at 7 p.m. And then we come together on Saturday as well at 4 o'clock in the afternoon for teaching and to study the Word of God and to come together. It says, do not forsake for assemblies of yourselves together. As you see, these things are getting, we're coming right down to the end.
So I think about what Jesus said in Revelation. I'd rather you be hot than be cold. And
that's
if you're in between, you're lukewarm. I'm going to spew you out of my mouth. We want to be red hot. So it's a year. If you've been marginal with the Lord in 2015,
or lukewarm,
today, this week would be a good time to say, Lord, I'm rededicating my life. I'm going to commit my whole life to you and do what you want me to have. And as you do, you're going to have some great things that's going to come into your life.
Amen.
So if we close this program,
let me give the phone number.
Go right ahead, Pastor.
It's area code 772-285-7007. Mm-hmm. That's area code 772-285-7007. If you'd like a calendar, please give us a call. Thank you.
So as we close this program every week, we are on this program because we love people. We want to see the standard raised in your life, and we want to have revealed to you the truth of the Word of God, which will make you free. So as we close this program, we tell you to look up, because your redemption draweth nigh. And what do we say, Pastor Donna?
Shabbat shalom, Sabbath peace, and rest.
We are raising the standard of excellence.
I trust that this time with you today has been informative and uplifting. I look forward to speaking to you again next week at the same time. May the God of peace rule and reign in your hearts and lives, and remember that Jesus is Lord and that he is the Spirit of prophecy.